Siren Radio.
You see, I knew it would come in. Okay, don't forget the news at 5:45, probably by the Siren News team, will be happening as well. But online now, we've got the correct number to actually reach our ace London correspondent. I know she used to be Jersey, but now she's just a London Life correspondent. It's Anna Lewis. How are you, Anna?
I'm very well, thank you. Cheers.
It's just as well we had that magical sort of interconnection, because otherwise we would have been dialing the number.
Yes, I completely forgot.
Your entire segment would have comprised of, we're sorry, your call cannot be connected now. We're sorry, your call cannot be connected now. It's enough to make you go, really. Whoa. Yeah, exactly. So, in the studio, two fine folk. We had expected a couple more. Eloise Sheehan seems to not be around either.
I know.
Maybe,
she'll be somewhere.
Maybe, sure, somewhere she will. Fergus hasn't made up from Leicester. You know, maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. We don't know with Fergus, you know, Leicester man, etc. Emma Street, I kind of said, she'd come in by all means.
By all means.
I mean, but we do have Alexander Bilton, who's in the studio. If you are fascinated, as I knew you will be, Anna, Alexander Bilton is making his debut on the Midweek Drive. If you cast your mind back to when you used to do the Associated Giants and Ligaments show back day, don't worry, Alex, it's not a euphemism, it's just a line entirely. Another station, another routine, back in Dulwich and so on, you took those little steps aside. I mean, channel that feeling of 20th century Anna Lewis making those first steps into broadcasting in that particular area, and maybe you'd like to advise a young second-year geography undergraduate, geography at the University of Lincoln, what he should sort of be prepping for, because, you know, he's so full of questions, it's really quite refreshing, you know, it really is.
I think you just have to be spontaneous, and you just have to be yourself, and expect the unexpected. If you're on anything to do with Alex, expect the unexpected.
Whoa!
I can agree with that.
I can agree as well, just from knowing him for a few hours.
Really? Well, I know you do the same. I just thought it was Tiger Einstein from, of course, Terror Hawks that actually used that strap line. Expect the unexpected. Maybe it's anything can happen in the next half hour. Although it's 2 hours, so it's four times as much fun. Anna, where are you today? In London, obviously.
I'm at my friend's house. Today I decided to take myself off to Hounslow, that we've recalled Onslow. Onslow to us, and it's a delightful place near a Heathrow airport, but funny enough, today the planes are not flying overhead, so it's good news.
Well, exactly. I mean, well, you say it's good news. This could be a prep for things to come at the end of October. I mean, you know, we were just chatting with Eva earlier, and Eva, you had your German cousin over.
I did.
It took about an hour to get back to Germany. I say that's now. After October 31st, probably about 5 days, if
five
you can even, even get
whole.
Into the country in the first place. You know, as we say, Anna, basically an hour for the flight and then 2.5 days at the customs, really. Mm. So that's
to get into the country.
But the good news, Anna, is Eva has said she'd be shocked if it happens. So I mean, you know.
I know, yeah. I don't know if it will happen or not, because, you know, I mean, there's no deal at the moment, or nobody really knows what's going on in Parliament.
Well, I was just fuming that they actually decided to go ahead. Well, I'm a bit of a mixed bag of nationalities.
This is true. Italian.
And I've been advised to look at getting some Italian nationality so I can swan through customs. But it's just such an idiotic thing for England to even conceive of the idea of going it alone. I'm sorry. It's just insane.
And yet, Anna, if you wish to actually make yourself a pretty penny by actually shorting currencies, as indeed Rachel Johnson, the sister of the current Prime Minister, has suggested, surely it's a possible... it's an opportunity to exploit. You know, the rest of us can go hang, perhaps.
Well, I mean, I've just had to change euros, and I'm not a happy person. I got a ridiculous amount of change for euros.
Yep.
Either way.
Well, there we are. Now, I know we talked about this on a programme which will be broadcast tomorrow night, the next episode of From Mountains to Molecules with Alexander Bilton. Alex, your views on this whole thing, because, of course, you were too young to vote when the thing actually took place.
It's very frustrating, not being able to vote.
Well, that's now been offset by people who died, who did vote. So, you know, that's the key thing.
Brilliant, yeah.
Over the 3 years. Yeah, exactly. Listening to Heaven FM. Do you share Anna's frustration from that point of view?
Absolutely. As a student that would love to maybe go to Europe in the future and work, it definitely puts our future in jeopardy.
I mean, on a very serious note, you've rightly raised that. It quite brings into question a whole range of issues, which we've talked about and will talk about at length. And I know it's getting a lot of mention, but I just thought it was worthwhile talking about, particularly as we had as one of the possible discussion topics, politics and mendacity.
Serious stuff.
When you've got commentator and broadcaster Humphrey Hawksley online, I think you can, you, with due course, actually address that whole thing. And we've also swapped around Robin Pierce's line. Well, I wonder if he's noticed, actually. We've actually moved Robin into the final slot in the show and moved Phil Leonis slightly earlier from Los Angeles, thereby ensuring, Eva, that Phil Leonis also has a chance of being in Robin's list of contributors of the week.
So that's
the rationale for that. Whether it works, of course, who knows? Eva, any questions you want to put to Anne about life, the universe? Because when's the last time you were in London, actually?
When was the last time I was in London? Quite a few months back.
Yeah.
Anne, you were from Jersey, weren't you?
This is it.
Yes, I'm originally from Jersey. Yeah.
It was when I last spoke to you, you were in Jersey. Yeah. When did you move?
A long time ago.
I moved, March 2018. Oh, I moved. Yeah. I'd had enough by then.
Exactly. March 2018.
I've been away for the whole year, so
exactly.
Cover
you see, what the listener sometimes fails to realise, and of course you could self, Anna, is that Eva is a time traveller.
I am.
Oh, wow. Lucky you.
It's all very good, but sometimes she sort of comes in and says, were you not in Jersey? It's a year ago, over a year ago, March 2018, and it's specifically yesterday. You know,
I've been away, so...
Likewise, I turn around and think, are you still in Strawberry Hill, Anna? What's going on? Where's the thing going? It's a bit amazing stuff. Never mind. That's life. A whole series of segmented things, one after the other, after the other. Anyway, yes, did you have any questions?
Anna, did you... this is probably going off the topic a little bit, but I don't suppose you've seen in the news that thing about... I think there was a humpback whale in the River Thames.
The dead humpback whale.
Yeah.
Oh, dreadful.
Was that...
absolutely awful.
Yeah, how did you feel about, did you hear about it?
Absolutely heartbreaking. I saw it in the Standard that one of the nice things about London is they give away the Evening Standard for free, which is something they didn't do when I was last living in London in 1991. You had to buy that. But it's just tragic because, you know, there is a marine life going on in the Thames, but obviously with what's going on in the globe, these mammals are getting well confused about where they're supposed to be and what they're doing. And it's really tragic. I mean, it's just, I'm not a complete fan of Greta Thunberg's, but I can see that she's got a point. And I think, you know, every animal that dies in the wrong place, which obviously the humpback whale must have really got disorientated in the wrong place, that's a tragedy, not just for the whale, but for all of us.
We are stewards of the planet. Curiously, actually,
we are.
Anna and Greta are about the same height as well, actually.
Really?
Yes, could be quite an interesting thing if they both got together and actually frowned at Donald Trump. It might sort of tip the balance, really. Maybe one could frown at Trump and one could frown at Boris Johnson. It's just the thought. it's a thing to cogitate on, perhaps, as life continues. Anna, any little questions you'd like to put to Alexander Bilton about his time at the University of Lincoln now he's completed, 1 year and 3 weeks here?
Wow, I think you just need to soldier on. Never be put off by any obstacles.
He's
They're all part of life's rich tapestry. And it make the most of your time while you study, because the real world out there afterwards
ain't that much fun.
Very
scary
place. Yes, I agree.
And, of course, originally you're from which part of the country?
I'm from Sheffield.
Sheffield.
Oh, Sheffield.
Sheffield, amazing. It just shows the whole range of life, the universe and so on. Anna? There's only one person who can ask you the last two questions apart from myself. It's Eva. Go for it.
Anna, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have, thank you.
You're welcome. And hopefully will we be hearing again from you soon?
Oh, that would be lovely. Thanks for asking. Cheers.
Of course, which number we call, that's open to a whole range of
opportunities. I'll update you as necessary.
We look forward to it. We definitely look forward to it.
Too good to be forgotten, no. Society for the Prevention of Accidents does some excellent work, but in many ways it still needs to continue in a whole range of instances. And recently they're calling for parents and grandparents in the United Kingdom to stay away, aware of the risk that blind cords pose, with recent research suggesting that since 2001, 33 children have actually died in the UK because of a blind cord-related injury, which is far too much, I'm sure you'll agree. So to address this issue and talk about the challenges with respect to blinds and cords and challenges with respect to that, who better than the Public Health Project Manager for the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents? That's Ashley Martin. Good morning, Ashley. How are you?
Good morning.
So why is it that so many parents and grandparents in particular are not ensuring that their homes are safe for children? And presumably it's not maliciousness. It's basically just ignorance, presumably.
I think so. I think people aren't aware that this is a problem. Blinds have been in homes for many, many years, and you know, there are millions of them right across the country, and people just haven't been aware that the looped blind cord, which hangs down from so many blinds, can be a real hazard for young children in particular. And so really what we're trying to do is just make people more aware of that so that they can make sure that they've checked their blinds and made sure that these looped blind cords are out of reach.
Indeed, 2 million homes in the United Kingdom have old-style blinds. And this is not something that's new, because you've been calling within the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents since 2004 to actually take voluntary action to reduce the risk of looped cords. Are there signs of progress with respect to that, or is it just a case of, well, are they even listening to you?
No, there are definite signs of progress. In 2014, new standards were introduced to require new blinds to be safe by design, by which it's meant that they're either cordless or that they have devices, which means that the cords can be kept well out of the way. Of course, the problem is that many homes will still have the older style blinds, and so there's a need to take action with them, to sort of simple measures that can keep blind cords out of reach, just like fitting a cleat which the blind cords can be tied round, or a tensioner that keeps them sort of tight so that children can't get their necks caught in them. Toddlers will tend to sort of play and to reach up, and of course the problem for young children is that although, you know, they are as they're becoming mobile, their heads still weigh proportionately larger part of more than their body, and their muscular control is not yet fully developed. So it makes them more prone to being unable to free themselves if they do become entangled, which is why it's so important to take action to prevent that from happening.
And as noted, it tends to be something which would happen to children mainly between 16 and 36 months of age,
right,
so in the first
yes.
3 years of their life. Yes. We've got a young student in the studio with us. Alexander, any questions or thoughts on this particular story, which, although it's tragic for those folk who have actually died as a result of this, hopefully this is a way of actually combating the issue.
Yeah, but I was thinking, for people who are renting homes, obviously you can't go into a home that's rented and try and change lots of things without speaking to the landlord. Would this be a thing to raise with the landlord?
Yeah, this is something that we're very keen to raise awareness of with landlords, and we would certainly encourage families who live in homes, particularly families who have young children, to raise the matter with their landlord. First of all, to check their blinds and see if they have that situation where blind cords hang down. But as you rightly pointed out, it's less easy for someone to take immediate action and put them out of reach themselves, or to sort of start fitting blind cord cleats and so on. So we would urge any landlords who are listening to have a look at their homes and to take action themselves. But we'd certainly also urge families to raise this issue with their landlords and just highlight that this is a hazard that landlords can help their tenants in terms of making sure that it's out of the way.
Further details can be found presumably on the ROSPA website, the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents.
Yes, www.rospa.com, and then if you just search for blind cords, you'll find a whole page full of information about what you can do to make your blind cords safe, and some background information about the risks and hazards around blind cords.
Well, it's as ever informative, Ashley, when you would be, because you never fail to deliver. But at the same time, somewhat sobering as well, in terms of still many things that need to be done. Ashley Martin from the Royal Society for Prevention of Accidents, where you're Public Health Project Manager. Many thanks indeed.
Thank you.
And there we have it. OK, Fergus has arrived. We're not sure that he can actually hear anything because his headphones are giving him challenges. I can't cope with this whole system. Plug yourself into a different socket, Fergus. I'll find something that actually works. Just let him calm down. He's had a long, challenging journey from Leicester, but he is here. That's the important thing. That was a little piece we actually did earlier. It was, of course, Alexander and myself who were connected with the Royal Society for the Protection of Accidents. And Ashley, of course, Ashley Martin was sharing a wee bit with respect to that there. How are you, Fergus? Now, you don't need headphones for this bit because there's nobody actually online, except if you hold the headphones that close to the microphone, you'll find you get howl around like a kind of wee, like that sort of sound. So just easy. Honestly, several months he's been with me, he still hasn't sussed that thing out. Are you okay?
I'm good, yeah. Well, obviously with the falling of his head.
Yes, don't hold them close to the microphone, otherwise you'll find again you just...
Yeah, I think that's
yeah,
better.
Okay,
now,
that's all right, that's good. Are we comfortable now?
Yeah,
better? Good, that's all right. This is called Behind the Scenes as the time approaches 20 minutes past 5 o'clock here on Siren Radio, Lincoln's first community radio service. Sort of through. In terms of the transport, the train got in on time. Was it? Well, obviously it didn't, otherwise you'd be late. You wouldn't
yeah,
have been late.
It arrived about an hour later than it was supposed to.
I see the challenges. I do see the challenges. Whether Humphrey Hawksley sees the challenges, who knows? We'll find out, hopefully, after this.
are keeping the theme going in all sorts of ways. Now, when you have worked as a BBC foreign correspondent and you've dealt with crises on every correspondent, you've been expelled from Sri Lanka, opened the BBC's television bureau in China, arrested in Serbia, and initiated a global campaign against enslaved children in the chocolate industry, clearly you've earned the right to actually state, actually, you've got a viewpoint to be listened to. And we're delighted now to be able to welcome his debut on the Midweek Drive today, author, commentator, and broadcaster, Humphrey Hawksley. Good morning. Oh, good morning. Good afternoon, Humphrey. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well, and how are you?
Well, very good indeed, Humphrey. Now, just share with us, where exactly are we reaching you today? Because you're such a global individual. Whereabouts are we connecting with you?
I'm in London.
Ah, I thought that's okay.
Yeah. Where are you?
We're up in Lincoln, the original capital of the country, back in the days when it was Lindum. But that was in the Roman times, a long, long time ago.
Is that a fact?
Exactly.
Okay.
Humphrey,
it's
been astonishing just actually reading through the amazing work you've actually done. I mean, work with The Guardian, The Times, The Financial Times, The International Herald Tribune, Yale Global, and so on. And yet, here we are in the 21st century, and the notion of being in a post-truth society has emerged. We look at our politicians. Maybe we get the politicians we deserve. Maybe we don't. We're getting all sorts of scenarios with respect to global challenges and so on. Do you sometimes get the feeling of despair creeps in, Humphrey? Is it a case of you think, look, what is the point? I mean, back in Victorian times, Charles Dickens was reporting about social inadequacies, etc. Have we really progressed?
I don't think the human mind has progressed, if that makes sense. So when each generation comes along, or when each war comes along, and the world is rebuilt again, as say it was after the Second World War, or we thought it was after the collapse of the Soviet Union, which is now a generation away, and a lot of people weren't even born then. And we think things are going to be different because as you get older, you learn things. But actually, they don't change. Human instinct stays pretty much the same. And I think what we're finding now, you just made a list of things, but we've got the rise of China. We've got climate change, this Extinction Rebellion blocking London at the moment, where I'm heading out to in a few minutes. You've got all this stuff going on. And sort of the new generation comes up thinking they want to make a difference and then finding they're up against all the same old institutions or mechanisms that for centuries have sort of blocked things from happening.
We're actually coming to you from a station that's actually based at the University of Lincoln, and one of our fine newsrooms was actually opened by John Pilger a few years back. And John was somebody who, again, I felt very much created or had a passion for reporting the news and reporting untruths, etc. Is it fair to say that you share some of John's passion in terms of actually making sure that the truth will out?
Well, I mean, I think the trouble I do share John's passion. I'm a great admirer of John Pilger, and he has broken some fantastic stories and sort of slain myths that the establishment want us to hold on to. But I think what's happened now, Alex, given the way that technology works, is that truth has its definition depending on what echo chamber you're looking at. So I was in a discussion just before we came on air, which is why I was plugging my headphones in as you were saying who I was. Somebody said that Boris Johnson and Donald Trump were idiots. And I said, well, you can't be an idiot if you manage to get through all those hoops to become either prime minister or president. So maybe you don't agree with the way they're doing things, maybe this, maybe that, but idiot is the wrong term for it. But when you look at the Twitter backwards and forth on things that so quickly goes into this demonization of people, you see that it goes down to these one phrases like idiot, crazy, or much worse things that we're not going to say on air. And that is what people then think the truth is about something. And one of the ones that I've dealt with because of my generation many times is that I think it was 3/4 of the population of the United States believed that Saddam Hussein of Iraq was responsible for the bringing down of the Twin Towers in 9/11. There was never any evidence for it. And now this came out before the days of Twitter, and Facebook hadn't really got up and running and that sort of thing then at all. Yet the propaganda machines, the way messaging worked and all of that, enabled the government of the day, the Bush administration, to convince a vast majority of the electorate that something was true that wasn't. And we're in the situation now with Brexit, of course, which, you know, we no need to go into it in detail, where a critical mass of the country believe one thing and a critical mass of the country believe another. And they're not even going to go across the road and say, well, OK, maybe a little bit of that's right, a little bit of that's right. It's just becoming more and more polarised. Mm.
Suddenly the notion of engaging with our community seems to be something which is becoming even more challenging in our times. It's not that we haven't been there before, of course, with respect to the human race. We do, in the studio here, Humphrey, have three fine young individuals who are all in their 20s and studying variously postgraduate degrees in journalism, so master's degrees there, undergraduate degrees in geography, and indeed generally sort of being part of the whole life scenario. I'll come to our postgraduate student first, Fergus. Fergus, you'll be listening to what Humphrey's been saying there. I'm sure we've talked about lots of your own views, etc. Any thoughts or questions?
It is something that I agree with you, Humphrey, on the fact that there does seem to be this thing that it always seems to be, I don't know if you said it, but there always seems to be the young versus the old. I mean, with Brexit and with like the US election in 2016, it was found that it was the young voting one way and the old voting another way. It seemed to be that the two seem to contrast in their views. What would be your view on that?
A polarisation of the ages.
Yeah. What would be your take on that?
Well, I think that's a natural element. So Brexit's slightly gone away from that. So when you're young, you want to change the world, let's put it. You know, want to be something, you're ambitious, you think you can make a difference. By the time you get to, say, 35, 40, you realize that, yeah, you can be a little relevant. You maybe can make a bit of difference. By the time you're 65 to 70, you think, well, I'm part of a hill of beans in the world and I've done what I can or whatever. So there's that whole thing. So the people out in London at the moment, they're sort of in their sort of teens and 20s, believing that they can stop climate change. They might be right, they might be wrong. I'm just saying that's their belief, and then the older generation are sort of trying to bring them in a bit. I think in what's happened with the Brexit element here, and certainly with Trump, is that a sort of wild card has come in. And in Britain, that has been exposed to, say, nationalism or what it, you know, that sort of thing, that sort of the Brexit thing, or anti-Europe, or however you want to phrase it. In the States, it's a similar sort of element in Make America Great Again. And then I go do around the world. So if you go around the world now, India is the sort of nationalist Hindu country, or that was the platform of the election. In Japan and South Korea, which are two of the new modern democracies that are outside of the European system, but they have Western-style democracies. They should be allies, but they're at each other's throats because of nationalist issues dating back to the Second World War. And then if you go back to here and look at some of the Brexit conservative MPs talking, they're talking in terms of war, surrender, tanks on lawns, you know, that's a traitor, collaborators, that sort of phraseology is creating a fight and a conflict when there's not one. So I think that's more than just the generational thing. That's sort of throwing that wild card element in there that wasn't there, or wasn't there when I was growing up and during most of my professional life.
I think your 2010 text, Democracy Kills, What's So Good About Having the Vote, was particularly interesting. Urgent, powerful, engaging, just three of the adjectives used to describe it. With attempts to bring democracy to Iraq and Afghanistan leading to war and Egypt back under military rule, you asked, Humphrey, what is the best way to move from dictatorship to democracy without violence? Still a question we're having problems with a decade later, it would seem.
Yes, that's a red rag to the bull on me on that one. Mm. That was post-Iraq that was written, so I covered a lot of that, and I saw and realized then that you can't just do these things overnight. Yet after that, you know, you guys might have, you know, even then too young to sort of remember, but after that you had the Arab Spring, where we went into Libya and we supported Egypt, and then we supported the uprising in Syria, thinking that if Assad went, or if this dictator's got overthrown, a panoply of beautiful things would float down from heaven. Mm. And that actually is not the case. And it takes the, in fact, from this interview, I'm going straight to the Taiwanese Day national reception. Taiwan is that renegade province off the coast of China that never got taken over by the communists. And Taiwan is now a democracy and an economy mentored by the United States into that. And but it took it 50 years to do that. And it managed to do it without any bloodshed. So we went into Iraq, or we got rid of Gaddafi in Libya, thinking that you could just do that and then withdraw without all these tribes coming to fight. It's complete nonsense. But that book that you just mentioned, Democracy Kills, it never made its way up into decision-making platforms. It was debated a lot, because when you become prime minister or president, you just don't want to know those things.
Indeed. Let's bring in another one of our studio team here, Alexander Bilton. Any questions you'd like to put to Humphrey again about what you've been listening to, what you're in research and so on, as a geographer?
Well, to do with geography, maybe, if we take the subject from Brexit and talk about different countries. So there's the currently economically developing countries, say China and them. Do you think that they could change their foreign policies to help with, say, climate change and that? Because obviously they burn a lot of coal and stuff like that. So
it's a fairly strong political point, Humphrey, but just a touch there, but never mind.
But why should they? I mean, China has signed up to it. And in China, strangely, there's a in Wuhan, I think it is, they've got the greenest town hall or city hall in any place in the world. They have got some very bright people building these new cities because they build these cities out of nowhere. You know, like they'll build a city the size of Lincoln every 2 days in China.
It's like we used to do with Milton Keynes back in the day, I suppose.
Like Milton Keynes is still the one that everybody mentions. But nothing since. But they do that. But then if you're, I mean, China, I think, signed up. India is in Africa and these things. So, I mean, they've got huge development issues. And the climate change debate has been going on all of my life, and the global warming thing and this, that, and the other, and the science and all of that, and yet it's not sort of immediate. It's not on our doorstep. Yet the people that are starving, the people that are getting flooded out, possibly because of climate change, but they need to, you know, keep the energy going. And the cost that it would take to turn their economies round to do that when they can hardly build a bridge or feed their people is a lot to ask, particularly if we're not doing it. So now that the United States has pulled out and, we've signed up to, to get our emissions down to such and such by such and such a date. But we're not really just sort of stopping getting on the planes, are we? EasyJet's still flying. So if EasyJet suddenly says, well, look, you know, people don't want to fly anymore because of climate change, then I think we can start thinking that, yes, this has taken hold and it's got a critical mass of support. But until then, India's going to keep its coal-fired stations going, Bangladesh the same, Africa the same.
I'd like to spend just a few moments, Humphrey, because I'm conscious time is, as ever, of the essence, but just talking briefly about Asian Waters, which was released in China, effectively, just a few weeks ago, translated version, etc.
In Taiwan.
In Taiwan, I should say, exactly, yes,
in
Taiwan.
In Taiwan. Not
in China. Yes. No, exactly. So, again, is that something which, to use your own metaphor, will be somewhat irritating to the current occupants of the Chinese government, where they say, what's going on here?
Well, strangely, they cooperated with the book, and one of the blurbs that we call it endorsements comes from the most senior Chinese official dealing with the South China Sea problem. That's where they've militarized bases in the South China Sea. Yeah. So I've tried to balance it out, and actually I've received some debate or criticism because I've actually told a lot of it through China's viewpoint, which you don't hear a lot about here. So why
being
is China doing what it's doing? Yeah,
actually telling different points of view, you know, and letting the reader make up their own mind.
Yeah.
Honestly, objective journalism. You're never going to work for the BBC again. You realise that if you're going down that line, please.
Well, I'm not. I won't even mention.
No,
it. I won't even go down that road.
Let's not.
Enough roads to go down without touching on that.
Absolutely. Finally, Eva MacDonald. You've been having a listen to this. I know it's big global. So any sort of thoughts from yourself that you'd like to?
I just want to go back to the Brexit point, Humphrey. And obviously there's talk, the deadline set in date at the moment is the 31st of October, but obviously there's talk of there's a deal, there isn't a deal, what's going on, what not. What are your views on Britain leaving without a deal, if we didn't have a good one?
Are we doomed?
Are we doomed?
No, we're not doomed. I mean, there's a lot of claptrap spoken about this stuff, and it's been politicised. This is basically a visa and immigration change of arrangements. And I'm a Remainer, a staunch Remainer, because you need regional institutions like the European Union to stop regional wars, and we've had two or three of them in the past century, and we don't want any more. Having said that, it's been politicised out of... we will get medicines. There will not be troops on the streets. There won't be car parks in Dover. You will be able to go and get a burger or whatever. All of that will be fixed, because if Singapore and Malaysia can do it, and Uruguay and Argentina can do it, and America and Canada can do it, then if we can't do it, then we should really strip out the whole of the government, have a revolution and burn the cities down, because it's bonkers.
That's not a Siren Radio endorsement, by the way. I just want to make that quite clear.
No, it's not. But it's just one thing I'd like to stress, because, you're the generation coming. There needs to be, a political party sitting down and saying, okay, the European Union is it's weakening because Britain's leaving. Poland's got an election today, I think, where a landslide is going to come for a sort of more right-wing party that's going to question the European Union. Hungary's against it, Catalonia and Spain, all of that. So there needs to be a few very sensible minds sitting down and thinking, okay, how should a regional institution that holds Europe together work over the next 50 to 100 years, where sovereignty is respected, but there's a flexibility, but also a sense of being European. And that has not entered the British debate yet.
Humphrey, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts with you, good stuff today. I'll remind the listener, humphreyhawksley.com is a wonderful go-to place to find out just a general line of some of the awesome things you've actually produced. We have two final questions to put to you. They're not too difficult, hopefully. Humphrey Hawksley, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, you mean technically wise or
both, really?
I mean, I enjoyed the question. The questions were good. It's good to know that the young people are thinking about these things, yes.
Well, I'd like to think that. And the next critical question is, would you be kind enough to return again in the very near future?
If you call me.
I think a round of applause for Humphrey Hawksley, please. Absolutely. And stay safe at the Extinction Rebellion and the Taiwanese zone that you're heading off to and the reception. Hopefully all goes well.
Thank you. Cheers, Alex.
Words don't come. just a simple song that I made for you on my own. There's no hidden meaning, you know. When I say
thought we'd be bringing out some FR David. Oh well, just goes to show. It's a nice little link between Humphrey Hawksley and the next little segment that occurs at 5:45 on a weekly basis here at Siren Radio. And what is that next event that's happening, Eva, at 5:45?
It's the news.
It is the news from Siren Radio at 5:45. Siren. Yeah, when he says later on, he probably means 24 hours from now, but it's all relative. It all works its own routine. Let's deviate to contemplate this audiovisual opiate.
And we will be heading to America in about 25 minutes or so from now with Robin Pearce. Robin Pearce is in Wales. Phil Dearness is in Los Angeles. We had hoped to be going to Gabriella Peralta in New York, but contacts aren't working. However, great news. We can actually welcome a unique live solo individual musician, one of the most potent artists to emerge from the acoustic music scene in years. It's the fabulous James J. Turner. How are you, James?
Hi, Alex. I'm very well. How are you?
Excellent.
What a build-up, man. What a build-up.
It's very important. You know, it's bringing out the world, the best of the world through Siren Radio. And I take it we're reaching you somewhere in Liverpool. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm sitting at home in my little study. I'm happy to chat away with you.
Marvellous. This is what it's all about, really. Kind of just sharing Absolutely. The joys of wonderment and so on. Now, Kalahari. We're going to play it in a few moments. Kalahari Rain.
Sure.
Is it a case of, you know, you look across at Goodison Park, you see, now there's a club that have actually been in the desert for years and years and years.
Don't draw me in.
No.
I'm not getting into that at all.
I know, it's Tranmere secretly, but never mind. But talk us through what we're about to hear in terms of the inspiration behind Kalahari Rain.
Well, we're about to listen to the latest single called Kalahari Rain. It's about things that are never really as bad as they seem. So I was watching this beautiful thing, and it's on the Kalahari Desert, and most of the year it's absolutely, you know, burning hot, nothing's growing, mm-hmm. and everything's under the ground, and all of a sudden this rain comes lashing down, everything comes to life, and it's so beautiful for a while. And I thought, you know what, that's like my experience of life. It can knock you down, it can be a bit barren, it can be very tough sometimes, and then along comes some very beautiful moments if you just keep believing and keep your faith and just keep on keeping on.
You see, Eva, you can be performing at Withensea, everything's going great, you go down with glandular fever, and then suddenly it all re-emerges as good things again.
Well, hopefully.
Exactly.
I'm getting there, Alex.
We'll have Eva's thoughts on Kalahari Rain, we'll have Alexander's thoughts on Kalahari Rain, and even Fergus Jeff will provide you with a Leicester City Football Club supporter's thoughts on Kalahari Rain after, strangely enough, James J. Turner and Kalahari Rain.
So it's in a bit.
Yes.
think that deserves a round of applause before we even find anything out. Yay! Looking good, James, but at the end of the day, will it go down on Worksop Hospital Radio? I don't know. Maybe Alexander Bilton would probably say, what's the response, Alexander?
Yeah, I think it's a great tune, to be honest.
This is good. Notice the way James and I kind of expanded Siren's Empire there into another radio station, etc. Another line. Let's move on that. Eva McDonald, Kalahari Rain.
I like it. It sounds quite wild. I said earlier, it sounds quite Wild Western / USA kind of style. But no, I like it.
To which I responded, well, obviously, from Liverpool, the Wild West and Liverpool.
Even though it's not
one and the same. This is great. This is good. And Fergus?
I loved it. I liked the kind of lyrical content of chorus. And I particularly liked the use of the fiddler as the secondary influence. It was quite Celtic. You know, I felt I was being taken back to Ireland.
Thanks,
Fergus.
Yeah, you see, this Fergus, you can rely upon as the postgraduate student. You can always rely on a more sophisticated approach to his criticism.
I love it.
You know,
nothing wrong with a bit of sophistication.
Said that for years. You know, it's very, very true. So clearly, in terms of that, it's opening up a range of things. Let's open up the questioning. Alexander, any questions you want to put to James about life, the universe, his creativity, and so on?
Where did you start? Where did it all begin?
In his mother's womb. He was fiddling away.
I was very little then. Where did it all begin? Well, do you know what? I've been playing all my life. I started playing when I was about 10. And I built up from there. Came through the whole punk scene. Came through the kind of psychedelic scene. And I'm just following my heart and soul and keeping on. I've been very lucky with this latest project because it's Arts Council funded. And I'm very, very pleased with the way the album, which is released in January, has turned out, and I'll be touring it next year.
Very interesting.
Sounds awesome. Fergus, any thoughts that you'd like to share?
The Skyny.
But not that.
No.
How did you get noticed by the Arts Council? Because I've always wondered that. How did...
Yeah, well, it's a fun... I mean, basically, I started talking to them. And do you know what? They were absolutely brilliant. They were so supportive. And, I mean, not that they just sent me a big fat check, because they didn't. You have to really justify yourself to them. And you have to make it a project. They have to like what you're doing. And basically, it was like that. So we did a submission. They said, this isn't good enough. Go away and rethink it. Come back to us. You'll have to, you know, build a tour in. It's got to be around a central theme for the album. And we did it. And then they came back and said, OK, we love it. We'll support it.
Which makes every kind of sense. Eva.
Hi, James. So this one being...
Hi.
Hiya. So this one being called Kalahari.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a follow-up called Gobi? I couldn't resist that. Sahara.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to know, like, with your kind of songs, do you sort of, I mean, do you travel around to different sorts of places and then find inspiration for writing songs through that? Or how do you usually find inspiration for writing your songs?
It's a great question, that. Inspiration for me is a really, really important thing. I do travel around a lot and I do a lot of gigs, and basically everybody's the same wherever I play. So I get a good feeling for what people like, and then I like talking to people, and I like meeting them after the show and just generally getting on with it, really. And I'm inspired by people. I'm inspired by the struggle and everyday kind of carry on of it, you know, and you've just got to keep going, don't you? Small things inspire me, actually. And I just love talking to people. I find that so inspirational.
Maybe he might even write a song about the Midweek Drive.
Who knows?
I could do.
Exactly. It's been awesome sharing something else once again with your good self. It's no surprise that you're one of the finest folk rock people we've encountered, which is always good, James. You can obviously go to jamesjturner.com. That's jamesjturner.com. Presumably all the usual socials as well. Can find
on
the Instagrams and so on.
iTunes, Spotify, everything. And you know what? Why don't people come on Facebook? Just find me, James J. Turner, on Facebook. Come and say hello. And we can chat away from there till, you know, forever.
Yeah, that's amazing value. Yeah. I'll probably sort of do that almost forthwith. James, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Loved it, as usual. And thanks so much for having me on, and great to talk to everybody there.
And the next critical question is, of course, would you be returning to us in the very near future? Would you come back?
I'd love to. And you know what? If I don't know if you've got the kind of format for this, but I can come in and do an acoustic for you, acoustic session for you if you'd like to.
Yeah,
at any point in time.
This is the sort of thing that we like to hear from
our
contributors.
Just let me know when.
Yeah.
You let me know when, I'll come down and do it.
Well, another round of applause, please, for James J. Turner.
Yay!
See you soon, guys. See you soon.
Little girl, lost in the street. Storm's thrown, don't fall at her feet. She's bruised, battered, broken and torn. A rose of blooms from a bed of thorns. She's lonely in her heart, so full of soul. Oh, fire blazing, so deadly cold. She's out on the edge with everything to lose. Oh, our little girl who owned the blues. Walls built so high to hide behind. Slave to the demons that dwell in her mind. Her heart filled with passion and pain. Beauty in the music that holds no shame. She's lonely in her heart, but so full of soul. She's out on the edge.
Hey, this is Els Bailey. You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren Radio.
See, it's that kind of skill. She can not only produce an absolutely awesome tune called Girl Who Owned the Blues, but she can also mix that with a station ident as well. Frankly, Els, I'm just always amazed by the range of skills you bring to the world. Els Bailey, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, listen, after you're listening to The Girl Who Owned the Blues, autobiographical, obviously, what else can you say? She is the girl who owned the blues. Recent scenarios, Power Play, a very good album. That's an understatement. Els Bailey crushes it. 5 stars from Music News. Great news, Eva, on the 8th of November, a new Els Bailey album is released to the world. Blacktop Companion. Yay! Oh, you can tell we're excited, Els. Yeah, it's just awesome. In fact, you know, we were so confused and excited were we that Els actually, when she was confirming she was on the show, she sent a text to Tessa Snart by mistake as opposed to sending it directly to myself. It's all right, we know. Tessa was in touch. She's joining us later. It's all good. You have been to Nashville, to America, back again, Bristol, etc. Just talk us through your schedule of the last few months, Els, because it has been awesome.
It's been mad. Mm-hmm. I did 11 flights in a week. I did France, Corsica, Hull. I went to Hull.
Well, that's the killer.
Yeah, that's the name.
That's the highlight.
Exactly.
Yeah. I went to Hull via a chateau in France. And it was so desperately tragic that I was at the chateau for 8 hours and then had to get up so early to drive to Bordeaux to catch a flight to get me to Hull. But the gig was amazing.
even the line, it's never dull in all, you know, can't really sort of offsets the whole notion of that. You know, it just shows us. I mean, you know, you are, in the words of Tony McDonough, probably the hardest working songstress he's ever encountered, and I'd have to agree with that. You know, I've been privileged to see a couple of your gigs now, at least, yeah, the one in the Saltburn, etc. You're back up in the Northeast again, of course. It is amazing. Yeah. Frankly, you would just say you would knock the audience off their socks in so many ways. But Els, as you know, it wouldn't be the Midweek Drive if we didn't have the usual collection of Midweek Drivettes, excluding Tessa, because I think Tessa only tunes in from 6:25 when she has her own slot. So, yeah.
From a recent face message, we thought you thought it started when she was on.
It doesn't, you know. In the Midweek Drive, 5 o'clock every Wednesday, you know, 5 p.m. through to 7 p.m. There's a lot of good stuff before we have Tessa's tune of the week, but we've got our very own tune, of course, because it is deeper. Going deeper into the whole system with Els. But Els, would you like to share with us the background behind Deeper, which we're about to play in a few seconds' time?
So Deeper was one of the first songs that I wrote for the new album, or not the new album now, as you literally just said, but for Road I Call Home. Yeah. And, I wrote it with Dan DeBay and Daryl Burgess, who I wrote the same flame with, so for people who are aware of my earlier record, Wildfire. Same Flame was the second single from that. And what's great is we've written 3 songs together and they've been completely different. So I think Deeper is so, so different to Same Flame. But I absolutely love it. It's one of my favourite songs from Road I Call Home. And I love it.
I'd like to say it's like 4 minutes of audio perfection, but then I'm probably biased. Els Bailey, stay with us. We'll be with you after yourself, of course, singing Deeper.
I know we're bursting. Let's give it a round of applause. Yay! We just had to get that out of our system, pals, because, you know, frankly, it would be, I mean, are we talking deeper in a psychoanalytical sense? Are we talking, tell me about your childhood first, if it takes a patient, so we remove all their bones, this makes the patient very relaxed, and so we proceed. Or is it something completely different? I don't know. Do we care? Eva, what did you make of it?
It's very chilled, very relaxing. I like it. But yeah, it's do you normally just write about the blues, Gavin? Is the blues something
well, better
that you
side
enjoy?
Than talk about Leicester City or indeed Manchester City? Yeah, clearly it's the way
just
forward.
Thinking, like, is it the blues that you normally just write about, or do you touch on other genres as well?
Oh no, I definitely I never choose to write in a genre. I've been very blessed by the blues community that kind of took me under their wing. But I you know, I don't try and write a genre.
Songs choose to write through elves.
I like it.
Yeah, the Girl Who Owned the Blues that's a song about Janis Joplin. So that's maybe where. From.
If Janice is looking down, as I'm sure she is, basically saying, you know, who would I like to actually take on my mantle? It's yourself, Els. I mean, it's end of, you know, except, you know, we want you to have a lot longer life than Janice did. That's the important thing. Yeah. So you just go, keep going. Yeah. Good. I'm estimating at least another 80 years we need you to get you into the 21st century, at least. 22nd century, what am I saying? Fergus.
Yeah, very, very soulful tune. I kind of like the sound of your kind of husky singing voice. It was very nice. You know, it was.
Worked on that as a 3-year-old, of course.
I was trying to work out what it reminded me of, and I couldn't think of anything. So that's definitely a positive.
Yeah, exactly. You see, original, yes. Capital O-R-I-G-I-N-A-L, Els. Over to yourself, Alexander.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed the melodic feel of it. If I can say that. Yeah, it reminded me of Van Morrison, actually.
Yeah. That's what I was missing.
Yeah.
And actually, I just realised I'm referring to Alexander as Alexander when he said, call me Alex. It's just a blank confusion. I don't know. I'll get this sorted. I'll make sure a note is made on that effect. Els, what are the rest of the schedules for your good self? I mean, they're crazy, I know, but where can we see it? Or is it best to just go to elsbailey.com and all the details are on there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm currently in Denmark at the moment. I go to Germany tomorrow. Then I'm back in the UK. I'm at the Euro. Oh gosh, I'm playing in Lincoln. Yes. Actually playing in Lincoln.
Yes.
On 15th of December at the Engine Shed for the King King Christmas party, and then I've got my own headline show in Curtin in Lindsay, which is about 30 minutes.
Listen. Now the Engine Shed, as you so wonderfully pronounced it there, almost like an alien from outer space. The Engine Shed is approximately 900 yards? No, maybe 1,000 yards from this very studio. Yeah. There is no excuse, Els. There is no excuse for you actually when you're actually in the Engine Shed for us not to do a pre-show package here. I mean, I think that goes without saying.
Amazing.
Obviously, exactly. You finally get to see the Siren Studio after all these years. Who knows? Maybe Tessa might even return. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's just very, very exciting. It was, you see, just so much good stuff. And still to come, we've got Tessa Snott's Tune of the Week. Although how she can possibly say that anything could actually top your good self, Els, I really don't know, but never mind. That's all by the course. Els Bailey, who would you like to ask you those last two questions? Would it be Fergus or would it be Eva? I won't ask Alex because he's a newbie. He's not quite assessed on that one. So Fergus or Eva, who would you like to ask you those last two questions?
Fergus.
Go, Fergus.
Okay, Els, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show this evening?
Good delivery. Yeah.
Of course I have.
Very good. And will you be joining us on the show again?
Come back,
pills, as they used to say back then. Will you come back?
I will. I've been coming back for the last 3 years.
Exactly. Exactly. It's Els Boomerang Bailey, the title of our next album coming through. It's going to be awesome. Els, take care. Speak soon.
Cheers.
Sometimes you put the word out there, the word comes back, the word effectively says, I'm sorry, I didn't get the phone on or whatever. We don't know, at least he's not been involved in a crash. William Coles, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
I'm very perky. Thank you so much for asking. Okay. How are you, Alex?
We're very good. We were a little bit concerned because, you know, 5:10 clocks around. Anna Lewis had changed her number. We got her right now. You're in there from that point of view. We're thinking, who actually builds up to Humphrey Hawksley? Do we have to substitute with the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents? And we did. What happened, William? Where were you in the first hour?
I'm afraid I left my phone at home and went to my nephew's birthday party. No phone with me. I mean, obviously, at 5 o'clock, I was thinking, where is Alex? And then, And then I realised that I haven't got my phone on me. So
exactly. Phone ringing on, messages being left there. I mean, Eva, that's something you would never do in your professional career, is it?
I plan not to, but it has happened quite a few times, not going to lie.
Sometimes these things strike. Okay, in the studio, very briefly, we have, of course, Eva MacDonald.
Hey. We do. Hello.
We also have Fergus Jeffs.
Hey. Yay. Hello.
And a new voice for you, another Alex. Another Alex? Yes. Formerly
Excellent.
Alexander.
A male Alex or a female Alex?
A male.
That's very deep.
Alex.
Maybe transgendered. These days we don't know.
Okay. It's
very progressive. It's a whole new world. Second year geography student, Alex Bilton. So do you want to have a brief chat with Alex about how he's found the first hour and 23 minutes of the programme, William? Not that I want to guide your questioning in any way, shape or form. Over to you.
Yes, I'd love to. Yes, thank you. Alex, how are you? How are you enjoying this show and what's been the highlight so far?
Yeah, it's been a good show. I think probably one of the highlights was Els Bailey we just had on with her tune, Deeper, I think it was called. Oh, yeah, it was really, really nice. It reminded me of Van Morrison.
Except Els is also not transgendered,
any,
just in case
bad bits, anything, any slightly clunky bits which you weren't so happy with? Mm. You haven't disgraced yourself, I hope.
Not as of yet, no. I feel like Alex just keeps throwing me under the bus, but, you know, I'll just keep on plodding along.
When you talk about
bus. And are you aspiring to a career in radio?
I mean, I would love to, yeah. It'd be great.
Okay, well, this will be your first step.
That's why he's doing a degree in geography. It makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's the way forward. William, it's been so wonderful, at least confirming that you're still alive. And did your nephew have a good birthday party?
Yes, he did. Gave him some. I was the only person who gave him some books. And I don't know actually if he reads at all. But anyway, I've given him 3 cracking books for a 13-year-old, and we'll see how he gets on with them.
What were the books, may I ask?
Royal Flash, about Flashman being the prisoner of Zender. Mm. If you know either the prisoner of Zender or Flashman, but Alex, Big Alex, will tell you about her. And Rogue Mail, which is a great story about a guy being chased by Nazis, and Moonfleet, which is about a boy teams up with smugglers.
Yeah. Yes. Classic. In fact, could be so much preparatory work for Brexit. It's unbelievable. just the very name would actually open it up there. Eva, go for it. Last two questions for William, please.
Have you enjoyed your link with us this evening?
I've loved it. I like the slot as well. I mean, post 6 p.m. is great. I'm allowed alcohol then.
Okay. Yeah, I should have said your different time scale slot instead. And will we be hearing again from you soon, William?
Yes, I do hope so.
I hope so too.
That's what we'd like to hear. I just heard from Gabriella Peralta in Ellis Island. No, she's not been jailed. but there was no signal there. So she couldn't do the kind of bounce back weather forecast from Gibraltar via New York Ellis Island. Never mind, at least she managed to send us some data. That's the important thing. So, you know, it all sort of comes together in the end, as long as we have faith, as James J. Turner would have said when he's talking about the Kalahari Desert. To come, hopefully, Phil Leonis from Los Angeles and Robin Pierce from Wales, but now with an ironically entitled Remember Monday, but it's Wednesday's Midweek Drive, Tessa. How are you, Tessa Snart?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you all on the Midweek Drive team today?
You mean you haven't been listening to us? Or have you been to you?
Well,
yes,
we had a little bit of, I've been sorting the track out, haven't I?
When you say a little bit, I have, as Eva will attest to, had to leave the studio no less than three occasions whizzing back and forth to actually try and get this thing sorted through, whilst at the same time trying to download and hold the show together in some kind of cohesive format. I mean,
see, that's true showbiz.
Honestly, Tessa, sometimes I think you put your former tutor through just a step too far. Anyway, never mind, we got there in the end. As you say, and I presume that from that response, basically, he's saying that she's too busy downloading tracks, etc. I mean, she hasn't been listening to the show. So basically,
well, she's been doing the downloading tracks, which is kind of relevant.
But, you know, as Fergus rightly says, you know, you don't say tune in from 6:25 when the show starts at 5 o'clock. You know, you're like an hour and 25 minutes, including Els Bailey, you know, former co-host of Sound and Country Vision, and you think, whoa. Let's not argue about the matter, Tessa. Let's go straight to home and this particular aspect from Remember Monday, the track of the week. Home to Me, over to you, Tessa.
Yeah, so Home to Me, this is a brand new track they released on Monday, I guess, hence their name, Remember Monday. They're a UK trio of girls, and I've had the pleasure of seeing them perform at a few of the festivals this year, including the Long Road. They're absolutely brilliant. You might have heard of them from The Voice, watched that. They did Audition, so I know they've been on that. But they're actually releasing two tracks this month in celebration of their debut single that was released this time last year. So this is kind of the first time we're listening to brand new music from them in a year. This one's Home to Me, and it's kind of about travelling to beautiful places and seeing the world, but then you find that somebody and nowhere is really home unless you're with that person. But yeah, I mean, you can interpret it yourself and take a listen to.
Like the Kalahari Desert. Time is so tight, we will listen to it, we'll give our feedback afterwards. But what are the last two questions for Tessa, please, Fergus?
Have you had a reasonably interesting sparkling with us on the show today?
Good, well said, good speed.
That was really quick. I have, thank you, as usual.
And will you be joining us on the show again? Mm. Hopefully you will.
Yes, you mean, hopefully I'll have another Remember Monday track next week.
She'll be coming home to us.
Very soon.
Mama said, home is with your friend and family. And Daddy said, home is where you lay your head at night. But ever since I was 2 feet high, I've been chasing airplane tracks in the sky. Oh, I want an adventure in this world so big and wide. See the bluest seas, warm my toes on the whitest beach, climb to the top of a mountain that I never thought I'd reach, picked up my favorite cowboy boots down in Tennessee, but if you ain't there, I know where I'd rather be, cause anywhere you ain't by my side ain't home to me.
Side ain't home to me. You wouldn't think they were British girls, would you? Still, never mind. That's what it's all about. It's probably what Leif Erikson would have liked to have had as his legacy. There's a direct connection with that. In fact, if I say Alex Bilton, Leif Erikson, does he float any boats with yourself?
Nope.
Fergus was well aware of the Leif Erikson thing because, of course, we've celebrated recently Leif Erikson Day in a kind of collaborative way with Lily Holliman and friends, which is marvellous. And Eva MacDonald, of course, Leif Erikson.
Today.
I was going to say that.
Today. Today is Phil Dienas.
Today is Leif Erikson. Today is Leif Erikson Day. Leif. Yeah. Leif, not Leif. We're
sure?
Not turning over a new leaf. I am sure we're not turning. Well, you're trying to turn over a new leaf with this schedule change, which I'm ambivalent about, but my cat is outraged about. But yes, happy Leif Erikson Day. Way to besmirch
the memory of the contribution of Nordic peoples everywhere by playing me on with a country western tune and not the Norwegian national anthem. So I'll just hum a few bars here. Ja, vi elsker dette landet. Okay, so that's enough of that. Jeez. But we've been in the throes, all of America. I'm sure the BBC's been covering it. We've all just been in the throes of the most magical time of the year. Leif Erikson Day, the day that really could last year-round, you know, because it's a day first and foremost for the child inside all of us.
That's it. And that was the
There's stunned silence. There is stunned silence. Like, it's like I'm a Trump tweet all of a sudden. Nobody knows how to respond to what I'm saying, to my unmatched and unlimited genius and wisdom.
What's not to love about the Los Angeles Breakfast Club taking that approach to Leif Erikson Day? You know, they've got their own longboats, they've got their own horns, they've got everything there. You know, I can see.
It was really good. It was so weird, Alex, the show. I mean, like, this show is weird, but this show seems normal compared to what we did. I mean, it was.
And yet, Alex Bilton from Sheffield, making his debut on the Midweek Drive as a geographer, you were not aware of Leif Erikson Day.
I know, I'm disappointed in myself. Shame. I just did a quick Google and now I know who he is. I'm very disappointed in myself.
First European to set foot on the North American continent in 1999, was on his way to Greenland, got blown off course, and landed in what is now Canada, and asked, what is this newfound land? And they said, hey, we call it Newfoundland. So that was how that went. And but, you know, here I'll tell you something that I just learned. The Isle of Man has come up on this show from time to time. And as Alex knows, I'm kind of fascinated by this.
It's where Jessica is based.
This protectorate of the crown, you know what I mean? I'm just so fascinated about it not being actually part of the UK, not part of the EU. Although I guess we're not allowed to even say EU anymore. So, but anyway, I've been so fascinated about it. And this week I saw a nifty little spy movie from the 1940s starring Deborah Carr and Trevor Howard. I See a Dark Stranger. And it was set on Isle of Man during the lead up to World War II and to the D-Day invasion, where they had built a French village and American troops were training there and everything. So I was fascinated by this, and I dug into the research a little bit, and sure enough, Isle of Man was once a Viking outpost. In 979, it was colonized by the Vikings. So,
something we will raise with our New Zealand soul, Jessica, when she's back online, which shouldn't be too long. Of course, Gabriella is in America, and in case you didn't catch the early part of the show, Phil, Gabriella is currently in New York because her grandparents were actually in New York in Ellis Island before, of course, the Depression struck, and they decided to return to Gibraltar. There we are, a little story there, sort of
love that. I love stories about people braving, you know, hardship and long ocean voyages to make it to their destination only to find they don't like it and heading back. Those are the kind of inspirational stories that we all can use in this day and age. But I think what my segment thus far, and I'm calling it my segment, Alex, what I think my segment has proven thus far is no matter how you arrange the schedule, with me on at 10:30 or me as the final presenter, whenever I am, there's no good time for geography.
That's harsh, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you want to rebut that particular aspect, Alex, in terms of saying, but I'm doing geography at the University of Lincoln.
Yeah, I am doing geography at the University of Lincoln.
How many field trips
do you
have?
We're not big on geography generally in America. We're not. I mean, you know, there's always these studies of what the average American does not know, and I think it's something like one in three Americans can't find the United States on a globe. And most of them are pilots for American Airlines, which is really rough, but excellent.
But on the flip side, it means that technically you could reduce that
carbon footprint that we were talking about with Humphrey Hawksley when he suggested that one way forward is for EasyJet to just stop flying immediately, and then China might actually say, we'll be okay and happy. Interesting. Early part of the production, Wes, you were actually sort of having your entertaining Leif Erikson scenarios. We had political author and commentator Humphrey Hawksley sharing with us his delights of Taiwan and China and other global areas, such as the belief that also he suggested many Americans have that actually Saddam Hussein was singularly responsible for the Twin Towers. Anyway, made enough of such stuff. After all, the good news is at least
singularly responsible. Singularly responsible, which means that he not only destroyed them but built them, apparently, too.
Exactly.
So that's spectacular. Yeah, he gives and he taketh away. Look, we're not an educated bunch. We're not interested in book learning. We're more into gut knowing in this country. If it feels right, it must be true.
I would never want to in any way prefix Robin Pierce's choice of Contributor of the Week, but I think Phil is smashing it at present. He really is. He's making a huge bid in this rearranged time slot to make him a qualifier for the Contributor of the Week to actually really get
Do you know why? I think the earlier start really helps me because, as you know, my methodology has long been that I open a container of paint thinner right around 10:30 here Pacific time.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the fumes get to me a little too much by the time they usually get to me.
It's a case of balance. That's the key thing. Yeah. Of course, the other factor that comes into the equation is given that Gabriella can't join us for the weather report from Gibraltar for Lincoln tomorrow, are you around at midnight, Phil?
You know what? That sounds like great fun, actually.
I think we might look towards that. Meanwhile, let us progress.
A triumphant return, no less.
Very much a triumphant return. It's the way forward.
Am I allowed to give a little plug to my weekly podcast?
Yes.
You know, I do a weekly podcast with Dean Haglund.
It's the Chilpack Hollywood Hour.
From the X-Files.
Yes.
Yeah, Chilpack Hollywood Hour. It's your Chilpack Hollywood Hour. It's now in its 12th year. And we're going to have some big news coming up. Like every time I think, okay, well, the bloom is off this particular rose. When do we start ramping it down? Something happens to make us go, okay, I guess we're going to be doing this for a while longer. And so we're going to have some big news about the availability of the show, which comes at a great time because I don't even know if iTunes is a thing anymore. Nobody can explain this to me. Like, can podcasts be found on iTunes anymore? Can they not? Apple, I don't know what's going on. So I'm just asking people, find the show at chillpackhollywood.com, chillpackhollywood.com. It's a fun show every week. It's inspiring. It's irreverent. We like to think it's informative. But it's going to be available on a whole new network that, may or may not be linked to the legacy of Gene Roddenberry in some way. So that's all I'm going to say for now. And then the other thing is, Alex, once we firmly announce this, I think it'd be fun to have you be a guest on the show again. It's been a little too long.
Oh, Phil, as I was about to say, you know, when all's said and done, those podcasts that are rolled out, a whole new generation of broadcasters, just tremendous. I was going to actually provide Phil with the information that I will be driving Eva back up to her abode after the show at the top of the hill. Phil would probably actually say, don't go, but we coped last week, I feel, didn't we?
We did. Exactly.
Despite his preconceptions about driving it. We found the way. That's the important one.
What's it like living atop of the hill? Like, I want to live atop that hill. What's it like?
The bonus side is that we would never get flooded if there was a flood.
The ark is there. That's the important thing. In fact, Eva, would you like to...
That's a very romantic picture you paint of life on the top of the hill. Well, we're safe from flooding.
It's the lyric that Peggy Lee didn't apply. That's the key thing. You know, the folks that live on the top of the hill because we're safe from flooding. Eva, last two questions for Phil Leonis, please.
Have you enjoyed your link with us today, Phil?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I didn't have to go so soon. I apologize that I have to leave so soon. It's so rude of me.
And
well, hopefully we'll be hearing again from you soon then.
Possibly midnight.
LA
possibly
time.
Possibly mid-light, yeah.
8 a.m. our time.
Who
yeah,
knows?
We'll make it happen. We will, in the words of the new series on Amazon Prime, make it so. Of course, this week, the Facebook photograph from Robin Pierce was all about reading material, with a quiet afternoon of soundtrack music, including, of course, the delights of the DC Universe Convergence saga, and many other delightful scenarios. Robin, has that paved the way for prepping you into the last hour and three quarters of show criticisms that you're about to bring to us?
Well, in a way. I mean, you are like a criminal mastermind in the big chair there, manipulating all of us.
Please. We don't manipulate, we persuade, or sometimes engage.
What about coerce?
No. Definitely not coerce. What do you think I am? Some 1950s psychologist trying to actually sort of prove that the Nazis actually got it right. Move on. Where do you want to go? What do you want to talk about?
First of all, I'd like to welcome Alexander to the show. Oh. How you doing, dude?
Yeah, how's it going? Good, thank you.
Except he prefers Alex, honestly.
This is the part of the show where everything just falls apart. Normally, I'm on a little bit earlier, but hey, I am digging this new later slot because, as you rightfully said, it allows me to consider the esteemed Mr. Linus into the MVP list. Well, what can I say about the show? I have laughed, I've smiled, I've smirked, I've learned some stuff, but I haven't cried.
There you go.
It hasn't been the full gamut of
emotions.
Did you miss me last week, by the way?
Yeah, in fact, I was...
It was weird, not because it's I'm so used to it over the past 5 months. Yeah.
He was in Euro Disney, what can we say? You know, he's doing stuff over there.
I can actually say it's weird when I'm not there. That's the complete reverse of everything everybody else says.
Robin, in a few weeks' time, yourself and Eva and myself will be in Great Yarmouth for Sci-Fi Weekender. That's all I can say.
Cannot wait for that.
Are you looking forward to it, Eva?
I am, yes. Yes.
Next week in this show, Sam Stone and David J. Howe, both in the show because of really exciting news about Sam's writing, which we can't say now, but we'll say next week. Carry on, Robin, you're reviewing this programme. This one, anyway.
Okay, then, here we go. First of all, good advice from Hannah.
expect the unexpected when you're dealing with Alex. New Alex, that is sound advice. And if Anna hadn't told you, I was going to.
Thank you.
Then we went on to the prevention of accidents. Now, this I found really disturbing about the cordon blind. Yeah, I had no idea. They're doing great work in raising awareness about this. But yeah, have they always been this dangerous? Have, you know, thousands of people been dying every year about this? Or
I'm surprised it hasn't featured in a horror movie by Stephen King as yet. You know, really, seriously. I mean, and the Joker, he never used the blind, clearly.
No, but I was just like...
Ooh, has he gone? Robin,
how? Come. But, you know, okay.
We'd lost you momentarily there. We thought you'd gone on a blind. Carry on.
Oh, what an astonishing life that guy's had, Humphrey Hawksley. James J. Turner, Kalahari. That could possibly have been my song of the week were it not for Els Bailey and Deeper, which I'm giving a song of the week to, because I'm surprised that none of you picked up. There was a definite, to me, Carly Simon vibe there in her voice.
They may all be too young in the studio to acknowledge the former spouse of James Taylor,
well,
who was, of course, too vain.
Leif Erikson was. I mean,
it's a shocker.
Nothing that
and a geography student as well. A geography student.
Ever make sense to these people.
I mean, you can kind of offset Fergus because he did an English degree and then a postgraduate in journalism.
Yeah.
And Eva's a fantastic performer, great singer, etc. No need to actually follow the sort of Norwegians of the world, but, you know, for a geography person.
If it's any comfort to you at all, Alex, new Alex, you can't tell which direction I'm looking at here, can you?
I know.
I have a master's in incoherence. Right, so Leif, not Leif. Who knew?
I know, exactly.
I mean, I didn't know that.
Linus, not Linus, again.
And all this, but I don't know.
Yeah.
One thing I did not agree with Phil about, he said, there's no good time for geography.
Yes, so I disagree with that too.
I disagree with you because I worked as a cartographer for a while, but in my opinion, there's no good time for algebra. There, I've said it.
Very true.
I worked for 40 years, never used algebra one time.
Are you suggesting, right, Robin, that you never actually wanted to apply secretly in AX squared plus BX plus C equals, you know, the quadratic equation, the classic sort of routines? It never sort of emerged as a sort of vital thing that you were looking for equations in general?
Eva, is he talking in tongues?
I think he is. I just looked at him and was like, what?
Did he turn a full 360 degrees?
He goes off on one quite a lot, don't you, Alex? You have no idea.
Eva, when you say go off on one, I'm not...
Oh, no, not in that way.
Carry on, Robin, 5 minutes to go.
I will give the MVP award this week. I agree with you. It's Phil Linus. Because that man is just so entertaining. And the only reason that I'm giving it to Phil Linus is that he marginally nosed ahead of New Alex in the studio, because New Alex is new to all this, and I'm very wary of frightening him off.
Yeah, mind you, he has done From Mantis to Molecules, which is particularly scary, and indeed I believe you actually critiqued the first show that we put out from Mantis to Molecules.
I did.
Well, the fourth episode goes out tomorrow evening and is released.
I need to catch up on 2 and 3 then.
Exactly. It is, you know, frankly amazing. So it goes. That's almost brought us to the end of the whole sequence. Apart from that, Fergus, have you got any questions you want to put to Robin? And, of course, noted that the world's longest-running magazine, Cult Entertainment, I finally managed to track down a copy of the Twilight Zone episode. And
yay!
I would agree, yeah, I know. It took a long time and a lot of sort of frustrations in terms of that.
Was it worth the effort?
I think so. In terms of the Twilight Zone, though, a good selection, and I genuinely agreed with them. And nice to see five characters in search of an exit there. Still not sure whether the number one choice was right there. I mean, I would still maybe had walking distance ahead of the William Shatner Nightmare at 5,000 feet, even though you wrote a fantastic review of the whole thing.
So I would like 5,000 to point out that on our flight to France last week,
yes,
Steve Jr. and myself, we were wearing a T-shirt with a picture of the Twilight Zone gremlin, and there's someone on the wing in bold lettering on it.
Yeah.
And they still let us on the flight.
Well, there we are. And just a minor point, Robin, maybe just share this with the team, etc. I thought it was intriguing that there was only one mention of the top episodes that was actually reminded us that it had been featured in the movie, in the Twilight Zone movie. That was, I think, Kick the Can. Whereas, of course, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet was also in the movie, as indeed was the It's a Good Life episode. So I would have thought from a bit of editorialisation there, might have said also in the Twilight Zone movie. And nice to see that an episode from the 1985 version, Wordplay, actually came in at number 20. So there you go.
Yeah, I was a little bit ambivalent about that because I thought, well, it doesn't count because it's not receiving its 60th anniversary. It's not even original.
Fair point. You know, I'm sure if Jordan or Mike is listening to us, he probably isn't. You know, he'd say, right, the editor of Starburst, fantastic magazine, and Jordan's a really good guy as well, so it's all marvellous stuff from that point of view. Although I still would say that I prefer the actual covers with writing on as opposed to the artist's covers. That's just a minor point, as I said.
Of us do.
Yeah, I haven't got the sort of comparison, but there you are, Eva. I mean, isn't that a striking shot of Kathy Kane as Batwoman?
It is, yeah.
Striking.
Very striking.
Stands out. Seconds to go as far as things concerned. Fergus, would you like to put those last two questions to Robin, please?
I certainly would. Robin, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic meet with us on the show this evening?
It's been a whirlwind couple of hours, which I've enjoyed immensely.
And will you be joining us again next week?
Oh, nothing can stop me.
When you say nothing can stop you, obviously there are ways in which, that's like BJ in Prime Minister's Question, sir, isn't it, basically? Nothing can stop me.
When you said BJ then, I thought, you know, BJ and the bear.
Of course, as we would,
I was thinking of the personal BJ.
Of course.
There's nothing else that they don't understand.
Yeah, I know. Still, thanks to Anna Lewis, to William Coles, finally, Humphrey Hawksley, of course, James J. Turner, Ashley from the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents, James Turner, Els Bailey, Tessa Snart, Phil Leonis and Robin Pearson in the studio. Alex Bilton, did you enjoy your full midweek drive experience?
Yes, very much so. I hope to be back next week if we do it again.
Tomorrow morning if you wish. You know, 8 o'clock.
We'll see. It's Quack here. Night. It's Wednesday night, isn't it? So I don't know if
I never got
an 8 a.m. would be any good.
You'll get used to it. I did.
Exactly. You know, it's way forward from that point of view. Up next, it's the Siren Cinema Show after the news. Eva, we will see you next week.
Yes, of course. When I'm much better, I will make it tomorrow to the Thursday slots.
I know. We're on a recovery
slowly
process.
Getting
exactly.
There.
It's the midweek drive. It's good therapy for the mind.
Therapeutic.
The mind. Exactly. Thank you, dear listener, for being with us for however long. Don't forget you can download the podcast and listen to it all again in a matter of hours from now. Robin, what kind of line would you provide for the team to actually say farewell on today? I mean, what's your sort of creative writing coming towards us? Because this is a man who, in, again, that very same event in Great Yarmouth, will be revealing and unveiling a fantastic new magazine he's involved with.
Oh yeah, exactly. How about a new sign-off that I'm going to be using on the podcast every so often?
Now, is that the podcast which is Piercing the Veil?
That is.
There's so many podcasts these days, it's difficult to keep up. You've got your Chillpack Hollywood, you've got your Piercing the Veil, you've got your Midweek Drives, you've got your From Mountains to Molecules.
Your
stone thing. Oh, Lord above. Anyway, carry on.
How about stay different, stay weird?
I like it. That's very me.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, then, after three. One, two, three. Stay different.
Stay different, stay weird.